known Sturter, but it's Sturter. He represents Jehovah Jireh Ministry. I mentioned a little bit about it over the last couple of services, but could we get a couple ushers to come forward right now? A couple ushers, somebody come, a couple ushers, Jim, Bill, I don't care who. And pass those brochures out, if you would, please. Pardon me? Jerry, you can be seated. They got it covered, man. But I appreciate you being on it. Anyway, Brother Charles is going to tell us about his ministry. It's a unique ministry. They help churches do two things. You do remodels and you purchase buildings. So he's going to explain that ministry to us tonight, and then he'll preach for us as well. This is, it's funny that you're here this evening. I got a phone call earlier this week from a guy with BIMI who does very similar to the same thing that you're doing now. And I've never even heard of it till I heard about Jehovah Jireh Ministry, and you helped us get the church in Gloversville. So that's the first time I'd heard of you guys. So come on, Brother Sartor, and if you would, please, and explain your ministry and preach for us. God bless you.
Uh-huh. Right. Thank you, Pastor Carpenter. I'm Charles Sartor. Nobody got that, huh? Charles Sartor. It's good to be here tonight. I enjoy sharing about Jehovah Jireh. The ministry, as you see in the brochure there, helps independent fundamental Baptist church planters get into their first building. Usually we do that after the church plant's been there about 3 years and they're beginning to grow. They need a shot in the arm to help them financially. I know other churches may support them. The people are getting money together to have a building fund, but they just need something else, and that's where we come in. We help either with remodeling a building or buying the property for a building or putting up a building or finding a church to take over and remodel. So we help them with that with a financial grant. This is not paid back. This is all donated, and in the video that I'm going to show you tonight, you'll get some ideas about that. But this information is kind of some brief information. We've been able to see, on average, of the 190 churches that we've helped, them support at least 30 missionaries. That's these church plants. On average, 8 full-time Christian workers come out of their churches. So the desire of Brother Bossy in serving Jesus Christ through what he could do through the finances that he had was to get these church planters going, to help them with a facility where they could grow, where they could have a permanent presence in the community, where people would know them, that they know that they're there to stay. And so they can come out of the storefront or redo things or be able to bring life, the life that we need, the right kind of life back into a community in these days and times in America. I've worked with Brother Bossy for about 2 years now, but I've known him the whole 17 years of the ministry when it's him and Lois started the ministry. And I was in Christian education in the local church for about 40 years, and I was able to know about church planting, know about missions. I just love that. And when Brother Bossy asked me to get with him to represent the ministry, I said, yes, I'd like to do that. The men on the board and the ones that work with him are pastors, so it's hard for them to get out and visit churches, etc. So that's what I'm doing, is helping this ministry to say to churches, there's something going on in America grassroots-wise, and we're Jehovah Jireh Ministry is here to help that. There's a lot of men out there that are coming out of colleges or coming from local churches that say, we want to be somewhere to serve Jesus Christ, and we want to help them. We want to see lives changed. We want to see them grow into a church like this so that they can have a ministry that reaches their community and who they are and what they're doing. I was saved when I was 9 years old. My wife, Kathy, who is at home, she sometimes watches grandchildren, so she doesn't travel with me all the time. She was saved at 9 years old. I was saved, would you believe it, in California? And she was saved in Virginia. And our parents were in the military. And guess where we met? Hawaii. We got a free 3-year vacation to Hawaii. Her dad was in the Navy, my dad was in Marine Corps, and Uncle Sam brought us together. Kathy and I went to the same church, and we attended the same high school, our last 3 years of high school. And we got married after the sophomore year of college. I chased her until she finally caught me. All right, I'm trying to wake you guys up. I don't know. Is that going to be possible tonight? But we were able, in our years of ministry, have 6 children. And we watched the Lord take care of us. We watched the Lord provide for us, not just financially, but just a variety of things in our lives. And that's what we want to do with church planters. We want to help them to see that God will answer their prayer no matter how hard it is where they're working. God's called them there, and we want to help them when they're ready to get into that first building. And so we're excited about doing that and being able to see things change. Now, in the video, it'll introduce Brother Bossy, tell you a little bit about him and Lois and why they got into this. They have some testimonies of some of the men that we've been able to help over the years and some particular things about the ministry. And after that's done, then I'll come back up and share a little bit and then share God's word with you as well. Thank you, gentlemen.
Roughly 4,000 churches close their doors each year. That's 4,000 churches that gave a place to worship God. 4,000 churches that provided comfort and healing for hurting people. 4,000 churches where the gospel message was preached and people were saved. That's 4,000 churches where lives were being changed. But not anymore. Building a church has never been an easy task. It requires a lot of money and a lot of sacrifice. In these tough economic times, it's even harder as many only have enough to make ends meet. And because of our current economic situation, churches are finding it even harder to get financial assistance from the banks. We dream of a revival in this land. We want to see America go back to its roots. And we know that these two things must start with the church. But how do we expect these things to take place if thousands of churches close their doors every year? On October 11, 1934, in Baltimore, Maryland, a man was born. A man who would someday change the lives of thousands of people all around the world. James Francis Bossy, known to many as Jim, was born into a Catholic family. His father was an alcoholic who never got along with his mother. At the age of 6, Jim can't recall a civil word that was spoken between his parents. His family was considered middle to low class, and Jim credits his mom for teaching them how to save and how to live a frugal life. Around the age of 23, Jim bought his first investment home, and although he wasn't living for the Lord allowed him to be successful. On October 4, 1969, Jim married Lois Davidson. The couple became more involved with real estate, and just like Jim's first investment home, the Lord allowed them to be successful.
My life was a mess. I wasn't living for the Lord. I was living for myself. I was drinking almost every day. And yet, the Lord allowed us to accumulate wealth. Now, neither my wife nor myself could understand why this was happening.
Then the Lord started to work on their hearts. Lois accepted Christ in 1973, but never grew in the Lord. On May 4th, 1987, Jim was saved. And from that day on, the couple truly began living for the Lord. About 10 years after Jim had trusted Christ, the couple began to pray and seek counsel on what they could do with their retirement account. Jim and Lois knew in their hearts that God was going to use them in a very special way.
We really thought we would go to the Appalachian Mountains and do something, but after consulting with a couple other pastors and other men, it was pointed out to us that that wasn't a very wise thing to do. So then they suggested about helping other churches. So that's when we decided to move forward and form the Jehovah Jireh Ministry.
The purpose of Jehovah Jireh is to either help a church get into a building or assist a church whose current building may need renovation. Jehovah Jireh only assists independent, fundamental Baptist churches. The ministry is committed to assisting fellow believers in fulfilling the Great Commission. Many churches all across the world have been transformed.
The Lord has allowed us to do 90 grants to date. This has been in 26 states and 17 foreign countries. We would have never dreamt that we could be used in a country like Beirut. And then we've been used in the Philippines. And we've been used in the Ukraine. We've been used in Cambodia. We've even had the opportunity to help a church in China. I mean, why the Lord has allowed us these blessings, I don't know. Neither my wife nor myself are deserving of what He's allowed us to do and the way He has used us.
Each year, the Board of Jehovah Jireh meets in January to decide which churches will receive the grants. Unfortunately, many churches have to be turned down.
We presently only meet once a year, and this is because of our funds. We don't have enough funds to meet twice a year and make grants.
Jehovah Jireh has given thousands of dollars to churches in need and desires to give out many more grants to help many more churches. But unfortunately, due to a lack of funds, at this point in time, many churches each year are told no. When a church receives a grant from Jehovah Jireh Ministries, they are overwhelmed with joy. Many of these churches have met in storefronts, basements, and even school buses for months and sometimes even years. These churches feel so blessed to finally have a building to call their own, but the blessings never stop there.
The church body always gets excited. They feel the Lord is blessing the church. They get behind their pastor more and become more supportive to him. They give him their time and their monies. That's always the case.
The Lord burdened Pastor Craig Bennett to start a church in Atlanta, Georgia, while serving as a missionary in Belgium. The first service was held in his home. Then for 6 months, the church met in the Days Inn Hotel. From there, a pastor allowed them to use their church in Riverdale, Georgia, and Pastor Bennett was considering buying it when the church was sold to another group. While going back and forth from his home in the Days Inn Hotel, and then finally meeting in a building complex, Pastor Bennett met Jim Bossy. The church applied for the grant and was finally able to move into a permanent location.
When they finally came through, the joy and the encouragement that it gave the church to let them know that God's behind us, and it just shows answered prayer. It just puts a lot of encouragement into people's hearts. It makes them want to go out there and do more and stay more focused, give more, and just get closer to the Lord.
Pastor Rick Wilder of Olympia, Washington, has also seen the dramatic effects that a grant can have on a church congregation.
We were meeting at the Black Lake Grange, and a grange is just a community hall where they have several activities. Sometimes there's mud wrestling and dances. We have to come in and clean up. The attendance was growing that we needed to find a different place to go, but during that time we were meeting in buses. We cleaned out the basement of the Grange. We had a tent on the property, and then we moved to the middle school just down the street here.
The grant energized the people of Olympia Bible Baptist Church. They saw the hand of God and were convicted to give more.
We were still needing some funds to develop the property and to build, and our church people then started to get more behind it. There was a $17,500 check that came in. I keep copies in my Bible, and a $5,000 check, a $3,000 check, a $2,000 check, and on and on the people gave. And it was an encouragement to see that other folks like Jehovah Jireh had a big impact, and people cared like our people about starting a church here in Olympia, Washington.
Prior to receiving a grant, many churches are very limited on their opportunities for ministry due to a lack of space. Pastor Daniel Camacho and his wife started a church in Glendale, Arizona in a modular home. The church grew and they quickly ran out of room. Pastor Camacho and the church began to pray.
We decided to pray about starting, perhaps building a Sunday school room, not a church building, a Sunday school room. But as God began to deal with us and God began to provide, well, we decided to go ahead and build up just a shell of a church and build on as we could. But God continued to provide. And one of those means that God provided was Jehovah Jireh Foundation, which really encouraged me and the church to continue to build. And 1 year after we started the building, it was complete just as you see it today.
The church's attendance tripled, and because of the grant, they went from having one Sunday school class to several, as well as a nursery. With the new space and new ministry opportunities, the church will almost always see a dramatic increase in attendance.
80% of the churches will double in attendance within the next 12 months of receiving that grant.
And perhaps the most important effect a grant may have on a church is the many souls that come to know Christ as their Savior.
Every single week since we've been in here, the Lord has allowed folks to get saved, two and three at a time. Last week, we thought it's going to be a down week. Nobody got saved, and the Lord said, here's somebody right over here who needs me.
The people of Olympia Bible Baptist Church were so encouraged by the growth of their congregation after receiving the grant, but they never imagined how far the grant would reach.
I can think of three families right now that surrendered their life to preach that were trained here at Olympia Bible Baptist Church. And because of that now, they're pastors of Centralia Bible Baptist Church that's 30 miles to the west of us. And then there's Central Park Baptist Church that's the south of us. And then also Heritage Bible Baptist Church. And so the excitement and the attendance during those years has allowed us to see not only people grow and save, but we've been able to start churches because of those folks during those years because of the impact that Jehovah Jireh has had on Olympia Bible Baptist Church.
When a church receives a grant from Jehovah Jireh, souls are saved, not just in the communities surrounding the churches, but all around the world, because churches are able to give more to missions. Albemarle Baptist Church met in a real estate building for several years. Even with two services, the church was packed out and had no more room to grow. Pastor Deloge applied for the grant three times and was turned down, but the church didn't give up hope.
Finally, on the fourth go-around, our application had been taken off the table because of the other grants. We prayed all night long and asked God to bring our application back to the table. When we got the news, I think I was at my house, and I sort of lit up the telephone lines and made calls, and our folks were so thrilled when I gave them the news, and we were ecstatic over what God had done.
After a year and a half of worshiping in the building that God allowed them to have through Jehovah Jireh, they are already 90% full. Many have found Christ at Albemarle Baptist Church, and many have also been saved worldwide.
We made a commitment, a faith promise, the year before we got the grant, and it was a stretch of our faith. When our people began giving their commitments the way they're supposed to, that's when Jehovah Jireh gave us a grant. And that tremendously increased their faith for the following year. We have doubled again since that time in our missions giving. And we're now supporting more than 100 missionaries around the world. We thank God for that. And Jehovah Jireh made that very possible for us.
Imagine how many souls have come to know Christ because one man obeyed the Lord.
Since the founding of this ministry, about the year 2005, I think it was, or 6, we tried to determine how many people have been saved through the ministries that we've assisted up to that point. This was a very hard number to come up with because it's the domino effect comes into play. But at that time, we figured it was about 5,400 people had come to know the Lord through these churches that we've assisted. Today, if we would look at it, the figure would be well in excess of 11,000 because now these churches are starting to mature and they're taking on missionaries and they're sending out. So I mean, I'm saying 11,000. It could be 21,000. We don't know, and only the Lord knows, and that's good enough for me.
Because of Jehovah Jireh Ministries, these churches have seen tremendous growth, both physically and spiritually. Souls have been saved, lives have been changed. But due to a lack of funds, many churches each year are denied a grant and aren't given this chance to grow. If Jehovah Jireh were able to help these churches too, then imagine the possibilities. Imagine how many more souls could be saved.
It's amazing to me that we're not trying to help more of these men find a church property or find a building or get a building built. And, you know, we can do this if we work collectively. And when you look toward the future, we need more churches. The more churches planted, the more souls saved. And the more souls saved, well, more churches are planted. And, you know, this is Jehovah Jireh. That's the desire of Jim Bossy.
If we want to see revival in this land, we need to see churches grow, not close their doors.
When you find an organization like Jehovah Jireh, whose whole purpose is to see the gospel be preached around the world, see local New Testament churches started, it is an absolutely outstanding ministry, and they affect people. You can see what they do. You can see the results of this. We're seeing souls get saved every week. We're seeing lives be changed every week. And it can only get better. And if more churches got involved with it, I guarantee you they can do greater things through the power of God in their lives.
I think Jehovah Jireh is probably one of the most important ministries in the United States today, because churches like ours would be much less able to get into a building without the help, or it would take a lot longer. Without Jehovah Jireh, we would not be in this building today, and we're eternally indebted to them.
Would you consider taking on Jehovah Jireh for support? Please join Jehovah Jireh in their efforts to see souls saved. Someday, someone will thank you in heaven, someone that wouldn't be there if it weren't for you.
Our church is taking it on as a regular part of its mission budget, just so we can make sure that whatsoever happens, we're involved with the next church getting started and the next soul getting saved in the next county or the next country that Jehovah Jireh gets into.
I would encourage every pastor. We started supporting it right after we received the grant, and we're continually going to support it. We now support over 32 missionaries. God has called several people out of this, and when we start new churches, that means more money for missions and more souls to be saved. And what a blessing this ministry is. And I just encourage all pastors to consider supporting Jehovah Jireh Ministry.
I ask you to please take this to the Lord in prayer and ask Him what He would have you do to help this ministry go forward in helping church planters. Thank you.
We have a grant meeting next month. Now, Brother Bossy said that we had one a year. Now we have two a year because of the increase in support that we've been giving, that has been given to us. So we're looking at this year providing about $800,000. Brother Bossy has a desire to see by next year $1 million. This is given as grants to churches because of the support of what we have in our ministry, as well as other churches donating to what we're doing. And we're praying that this will happen, because this next month we have about 23 that have filled out a grant application for a grant, and usually we do about 10. So the desire is out there, the need is out there. We're trying to fulfill that need, and we're just asking churches to join with us so that we can make a difference around the country and around the world. Brother Bossy, he was saved when he was 50. He's 84 now, and he's got everything in order, in line for the ministry to perpetuate itself. It's all under what he wants done. He's turned things over to them and the board that meets and is in control of it. The board members are pastors of local independent Baptist churches. They're wise. They have financial sense. They've been involved with church planters. So they have the wisdom there to be able to do that. And we're just asking for some help so that we can see that carry on. First of all, prayer. We really want prayer so that we can make the difference for church planters around the country and as well as around the world. Later after the service, if you have any questions about the brochure or questions that you want to ask me, feel free to do that. But it's an exciting ministry. I know churches that I've been able to visit and see, the desire to plant churches is there. And we've got to fulfill that desire in these days and times. The time is now. The opportunity is now. And we want to be able to do that as a ministry to honor, glorify Jesus Christ. Okay, I'd like you to join with me for God's Word. It's always important to share God's Word. Amen. And we want to be able to do that tonight. Hopefully it's in support of what Pastor Carpenter is doing here in connection with what we are doing and these church planters that we're helping. Some of these men have gone into areas, inner city areas. Some of them have gone to out in the middle of looks like nowhere. Anybody heard of Fleshman's, New York? Okay, church planter there. I was over in Eden. Been up in Potsdam, just visiting Potsdam, and encouraging church planters and talking with pastors about what we're doing. But it's everywhere. All kinds of people are being saved by through the gospel of Jesus Christ in these churches. And the next thing we need to do after we see them get saved is to get the opportunity to get each one of us serving Jesus Christ and living for Him by showing our good works in Him. And tonight I'd like to share some things about good works and how critical it is to your pastor as well as the Church of Jesus Christ as we spread the gospel around the world. Let's pray as we get started. God, we stop everything to look to You and ask for Your hand upon this message tonight. We ask for Your hand upon the church and its ministry here in Rome and the surrounding area. We ask, Lord, that You would bring Your blessings in the messages that are preached so that Your name will be honored and glorified and lives will be changed forever. May our hearts be opened by Your word tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7. And in those chapters, He kind of shocked the people of His day by what He said. And He said some things that challenged them, His disciples. Now, Jesus at one time, He just didn't have 12 disciples. He could have had a couple hundred disciples at one time. And in the 12 apostles. But He was able to, in the Sermon on the Mount, share some things that are valuable even to us today. What Jesus preached then, what Jesus taught then, is still as new and fresh today as it was back then. And in Matthew chapter 5, there's just one little section that I want you to look at here. In verses, out of verses 13 through 16, in verse 16, it says, as some of you have memorized in the past, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So there's a purpose of living for Jesus Christ. That purpose for living for Jesus Christ is for me to do good. No. Did you notice how that's written? It's not just that you do good. That you do good that are noticed by others. We've got to display a testimony that's noticed by others, as it says here. And then the resulting factor is not me, because I've done a good work, but that they glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You aren't doing this for yourself. You're doing it for God and what He has set up through Jesus Christ and His salvation and the opportunity to change the world. Sometimes we think, well, I haven't done very many good works. Well, then they can't glorify God if they don't see Him. And so that's what Jesus was saying here. He said in this passage, 13 through 16, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt's no good, it gets tossed out." He said, "You're the light of the world." What do you do with a light? I preached a sermon called Burnt Basket Bottoms. You know, where you have the candle and you put the basket over it and you keep putting the basket over it. What happens to the bottom of the basket? It gets burnt. And when you try to put something in the basket, what happens? Breaks on through. So burnt basket bottoms. Let me go back to the light. That's better. You don't put it under a bushel. You put it up to where people can see. A city on a hill has got to be noticed because of the light that comes from it. So Jesus said, "Let your light, personally, shine like the candle in the house. Shine like the city on a hill. To be observed was the idea. If your good works aren't being observed, then God is not glorified. It's just not you or just not the church. God is not glorified. We let God down. We hurt His ministry in the life of somebody that may need us. Somebody come by on the interstate and help him that's there, and that good work and the opportunity to help somebody is so important. It helps them, and they're more willing to listen to you. If you've ever had a flat tire and somebody came by to help you, or if you saw somebody that had a flat tire, you go and help them. They're grateful for what you do. And then the opportunity to share the gospel is so wonderful during those times when you do a good work. And so we've got to remember that our testimony, our life, our good works need to result in the glorification of God. That's what we have to be determined to let the people see so He can be honored and glorified. Now, Jesus said later here in this portion of the Sermon on the Mount that he came to fulfill what the Old Testament law said. The Old Testament law said this. Jesus says, I came to fulfill it. And He said, not just to fulfill it, but He said there, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And that jot and tittle are small things in the written Word of God. And I kind of think, well, most of us are small. I mean, we don't stand out. We don't get up here and preach all the time. We're not on TV yet or have our own blog where we're preaching and teaching. Maybe some of you do. But we don't have that. But Jesus said even the little parts of the law will be fulfilled in His ministry. Even as we as believers, no matter what we think our stature is in salvation and in truth, can make the difference and things happen. It was interesting to note, I heard a testimony about one of the church planters that we helped out in South Carolina. And he talked about, as a pastor of the church, they were trying to gather the funds up, they were praying, they were doing the best they could in order to be able to build a facility. They were meeting in a corner. It used to be a gas station, grocery store, it's kind of run down, so they started meeting there. And they would have people drive up in the parking lot, take a look at where the church was meeting, get back in their car and leave. That's why we feel this is so important. We've got to give them a place, church planters, a place to meet that's viable for those that are in the community. Not just a building. It's not just money. These are tools God can use to bring about His spiritual kingdom. And we're concerned about that. But this pastor in South Carolina had a little boy. And he said, Dad, I want to help. I want to do something. I got to do something. So he decided to sell his four-wheeler. He said, I'm going to help supply money so we can grow as a church and do things. So they had a person come by. He saw that the four-wheeler was for sale. And he talked to the pastor, and the pastor said, well, my son's selling the four-wheeler. And he was seven or eight years old. And he was desirous to see things happen for the Lord in their church and being able to get into a building so that they could more efficiently help the neighbors and help the community know about Jesus Christ. So the man went over and said, oh, you're selling your four-wheeler. Why are you selling that? And he explained to the man, well, our church really needs the finances so we can get busy and serve the Lord better. And so he talked to the little boy a little bit, and then he went over and talked to his dad, the pastor, and he said, yeah, I want to buy that. He saw the heart of the child. Not a teenager, not an adult. The heart of a child was desirous to help his father in this ministry. He says, yeah, I want to buy that. And he counted out the money and gave it to the boy, and he said, you can keep the four-wheeler too. I mean, the jot or a tittle, it doesn't matter how big or small you are, you can do something for Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to be money, it doesn't have to be a building, but when you are able to share God's Word with somebody, when you're able to show your desire, the children that are here, it makes all the difference in the world. They have a ministry here in this church, and it is vital. So Jesus said, it will come about. and you make the difference when you shine for me. Now you think, well, how can I shine to do that? How can I get the help to shine? How can I do those good works? Well, let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Good works for the Lord. In chapter 9, Paul is talking to the believers about giving, sharing, planting with who you are, your personal self, your finances. And then he says in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. So he is saying here, God is able that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God has a plan. He has an opportunity for you, maybe even this week, to do something that will be vital to the lives of others, that will be vital to testifying and glorifying God. Maybe you can think of something in your neighborhood, something that you can do as a good work, or at your work, or in the community that you can do as a good work. And it says here, God gives the grace toward you to be able to do that. Well, I don't know if I want to step out. I'm a little scared about sharing the gospel. I'm a little scared about doing this. I'm a little scared about helping somebody. And then they may ask me about Jesus. God has given the grace for you to do that this week already. He is able to make all grace strengthen you, help you, clear your mind so that you can do a good work that glorifies Him. Abound toward you so that you may abound to every good work. So you're not alone when you're doing that to serve Jesus Christ. He's with you and He's given opportunity. And there might be an opportunity this week to present the gospel, to be a help to somebody, to establish a relationship so eventually you can be able to share the gospel with them. It can happen this week. But right here we know we have all the things that we need to do it in us. You say, I'm not sure. Trust God for it. And it's going to happen this week. You tell your pastor what happens this week. You let him know. I'm challenging you because the Holy Spirit's working for you to get out there and step into something that's a good work that will eventually glorify God. So you've got to do it. Why? Because if you don't, you don't glorify God. You've got to do it. It could be this week. And it's so important to be able to do that. Another thing about good works is said where we as together as a church can work. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. As Jehovah Jireh seeks to take the next steps into the future as far as being able to do grants, God is blessing open doors for that. And he mentioned on there, I think it was about 90 churches that we had helped at that time. It's up to about 190 now. So we're getting it out. People are putting their trust in the Lord on the line with finances. People are either donating individually, or churches are supporting us, or individuals are making a choice with the advice of their pastor about their inheritance and things like that to be able to make the difference and to put finances as a tool for God and make a difference in starting churches. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, very significant passage here as the writer of Hebrews is talking about let us draw near, let us hold fast. And verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You say, you might be nervous about it. Say, well, how can I do this to testify of Jesus Christ and do a good work? Well, there might be somebody here in the church that can provoke you. Remember when, older adults, remember when you're in junior high or something and you were provoked by somebody at school, the bully at school or something like that? Provoked, I mean, you scared you. But What we're talking about here is this provoking is to encourage another one in the membership to do the good work, to stay with it, be consistent. These days are hard on everybody. You almost can't put a Bible out at your desk. You almost can't have a Bible verse wherever you work or what you do. You almost can't say, praise the Lord, even, because of the climate in our country. But remember, we're lights that are noticed, and we need to do something that may be difficult. Not raunchy and, you know, mean, but to do something to testify of Jesus Christ, to be firm in our faith, and to show others that we have the most important thing in the world. Sometimes it kind of doesn't sound very important, does it? That we have the most important thing in the world. But it is. There is no other hope. There's no other name given under heaven among men that whereby you must be saved. There is none. No one has it. No one has it. You do. You have it. You already, when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have the hope that can change eternity for all those around you. So you've got to grab hold of that challenge this week and say, yes, Jesus, help me to do that. Or maybe God provokes your heart and you go over here and help a person in the church, provoke them to do good works. Hebrews said it. Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You ever been kind of concerned about being able to do something, but somebody comes in and helps you and you say, hey, it works. I'm glad you came. Thanks for helping me. You may be the one that needs to step in there and help a fellow church member be able to do what God wants them to do, be able to do what God's challenging them to do, and that is to provide and show good works so that it glorifies God in heaven. We have to do that. We cannot forsake that, because God has a plan for that person that we meet. And that good work may open the door for the Holy Spirit to speak to them, that we show that we are in honor of God. We show that we are a child of God and we're connected with God. And that person may need that. And in through the process of that, they're able to see who God is and say, yes, I need to receive Him as my Savior. Then one other verse I want to wrap up with in 1 Peter chapter 2 about good works. 1 Peter chapter 2. I want to leave the idea with you of who we are. I say, oh, I don't know. I don't talk much, or I can't do things right, or, you know, who would listen to me? Wait a minute. 1 Peter chapter 2, who we are in verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people. When you get that idea of what the Lord wants in your life and who you really are, then you can have the boldness to stand up and do that which Christ wants you to do. You can have the boldness to step in and do it in the name of Jesus Christ so they glorify your Father in heaven. It's not for you. It's for the people to see God and understand He's provided Jesus so that they can have eternal life through His name. You're a chosen generation, a royal priest, a holy nation. Sometimes they look at us and say, you are a peculiar people. Be careful. That can happen. Why? That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You get a little nervous about doing a good work or witnessing for the Lord? Where has He brought you from? Eternal darkness, eternal misery, away from God. He brought you up out of that. He's given you a new life. And you can stand with Jesus Christ and glorify God in heaven when eternity comes around. Where has He brought you from? That's what you need to stand on. You've got something. You have a royalty. You have a holiness. There's a chosen opportunity for you to serve Jesus Christ in what He has for you. And then, as He says, as I wrap up here in verse 12, having your conversation or your lifestyle or your manner of living honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they may speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You're going to get nastied with. They're going to be mad at you. And you've got to realize that the scriptures knew that. The evildoers will fight against who you are, but they cannot deny the good work that they see. And then they'll glorify God the Father. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, if somebody comes up and slaps you, do you slap them back? No, you let them slap you again. If somebody wants to take something away from you, you give them something else. If somebody has a process that is against what you believe and it scares you, you jump in and do what you need to do. The Roman soldiers required Jewish people to carry their military pack for a mile. And Jesus says, no, to Jews, double that. So we're supposed to act different. We're supposed to be a royal priesthood. We're supposed to stand out as a generation so that we can change the world for Jesus Christ. And it's you. It's not the pastor. It's not the one next to you. It's not the church planter over here or down there around the country, around the corner or down in another country. It's you. And that's where God is able to be glorified. When the lights shine, God can be seen in who He is and what He's doing. Don't stop people from seeing who God is because you didn't do the good work. Let them see that in you this week. Be accountable to pastor. Come and tell him, yes, this is what I was able to do. Not on your own, not for you. Remember, it's all the focus will be on God. But you, he says, you do the good work and God will be glorified and they'll see who he is and what he has for us. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the burden you place on our hearts. May the burden be heavy, but may we remember that your salvation has given us the strength that we need. Your Holy Spirit is with us. Oh God, may our hearts cringe under the burden, but then stand up and say, yes, I'm going to do this so God is glorified. May our hearts be challenged this week. May we live for you. May we be dedicated to the purpose that we're here as a church body to serve you. And may we be accountable to that so we can honor and glorify your name. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That's a good challenge. Let me ask you to make a commitment about that challenge. So, Faith, just go ahead and start playing softly. So what good work are you going to do this week that will bring glory to the Lord? Would you try to witness to somebody? Would you try to share with somebody? Would you try to share the gospel with somebody? What will you do? Who will you help? What lost person are you going to be salt and light around and to? What are you going to do? It ought to be a lifestyle for us, quite honestly. Now, how many of you would you pray to the Lord tonight and say, God, with your help and your strength and your grace, this is what I'm going to do for your glory. I'm going to be a blessing to somebody. I'm going to go the extra mile. I'm going to be what I can be and do what I can do for the glory of God. faith. I appreciate the message, Brother Childs. A simple challenge. Let me in salt and light, doing good works.